Our job is simply to love. And it's a tough thing to do. But if you want to control your desire for revenge, then you've not only got to understand that God is sovereign, but you've also got to allow God to be the judge. You've got to allow him to be the avenger. He says, vengeance is mine. It's not yours.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
Question: which Bible character, besides Jesus, would you like to meet?
Answer: David.
Why David? Because he killed a giant?
No, because when he sinned, he repented and didn't fall into the same trap again.
So, because he sinned and learned his lesson.
Yes, and because he learned his lesson, we can learn from his.
1 Samuel chapter 24, and as I mentioned last week, this is going to be the last message in 1 Samuel. As we, after the break, we're going to move on to another book. But I trust that you will have appreciated the study in 1 Samuel. And in chapter 24 and chapter 26, we find that there is this, there are two different events when Saul is delivered into David's hands. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul. And there's some lessons to be learned from David in this encounter here in chapter 24. And I want us to take a note. If you have a pencil and paper, you can make a couple notes of some lessons that we can learn from David in this chapter. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you and we ask that you would cause that your word would come alive in our hearts, that you would give us understanding. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a story about a renowned dog lover who was repaving the pavement, you know, the concrete squares that ran from his house out to the sidewalk. And he was working and smoothing it over on the top and getting each of the squares nice when all of a sudden a dog from his neighbor's house ran out. And he ran right over a few of the squares and put his paw prints in the square. So the guy is frustrated. He shoos the dog away and gets back to trying to re-smooth the concrete that's there. And then right as he's finishing up working on the last square, another dog from across the street comes running over. And he was in the habit of always petting these dogs. And as a dog lover, they all love to come to him. And so this dog also runs across his freshly smoothed over concrete squares. And now by this time, he's ready to lose it. And he starts swinging at the dog and shooing him away. And his wife comes out the front door and says to his husband, she sees him, you know, shooing these dogs away. She says, "I thought you were a dog lover." And the guy's response was, "Yeah, I love dogs in the abstract, but not in the concrete." And you know what? I think that that is exactly what our problem is. That we know how to love people in the abstract, but not in the concrete. And when real life comes our way, we need to learn to love people in the concrete. David, in this chapter, when Saul is delivered into his hands, David actually shows us four things that I want to leave with you today out of this chapter. There are four characteristics, four things that David has learned and is able to put into practice in his life that helped him to not seek revenge against Saul for all the evil that was done to him, but rather to be able to show love to Saul. And so the title that we have for this message today is to control your desire for revenge. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that little thing that prompts you sometimes to just get even. And that desire for revenge, David gives us four things, four steps that are seen here. Make a note of these. The first one is that we need to recognize God's sovereignty. And in verse 10, that's exactly what he does. In verse 10 of chapter 24, he says, "Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave." And New King James says, "Someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." I need you to understand that David understood and recognized God's sovereignty in all the events that took place in his life. David acknowledged that Saul was anointed by God to be in the position that he was in. And over and over, as we noted last week, David was determined to respect God's choice and God's anointed one. In Romans 13:1, it reminds us that the authorities that exist over us are appointed by God. Whether you like them or you don't like them, whether you think they're evil or not evil, they are appointed by God. Amen. And so we need to respect those authorities that are over us and understand that it's God's sovereignty operating in our lives. We need to recognize the sovereignty of God with those over us. And for you and I today, that means our teachers. That means our bosses on the job. That means the politicians. That includes the police, the church leaders, amen, spouses, all of the authority that God places over us. We need to understand that we see God's sovereign hand behind that. And so whether you think that they are doing evil against you, like Saul was doing against David, we still recognize that God is sovereign. And when they act like the enemy, remember that because God is sovereign, our confidence is not in them, but our confidence is in God. And so we need to remember and recognize the sovereignty of God. When we recognize the sovereignty of God, what happens is that we don't feel as though we've got to protect God. And it's more easy for us to leave the matter in his hands. Now, let me share one thing here in this verse. If you look at verse 10, because New King James says in the middle of the verse, where he said, "The Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave." New King James says, "And someone urged me to kill you." I heard in the reading that it says, and everyone. Is that what translation was that, brother? Is that the old King James?
New King James.
That's New King James. It says, "And everyone."
What verse are you
in? In verse 10. Someone urged you. Okay. Well, here's the point that I want to make. If you notice, if you have a good study Bible, you notice that word "someone" is in italics, right? You know what that means when it's in italics? It means it's not in the original, but it was the translators stuck it in there to try and make the sentence flow so that we have understanding. But sometimes the translators aren't always right. Amen. And at the risk of, sticking my neck out there, I'll say that this is one time when their attempt to make sense out of it misses the point of the passage. And what's happening here is that it's not that, and I'm sure that there were people around David who were urging him to kill, but that wasn't the point of the verse. What he's saying here is that if you take out the "someone," it's the same subject to the sentence. It's the Lord who delivered you into the hand in the cave, into my hand in the cave, and urged me to kill you. Now, you say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor Tony." Well, the "urged" is a word that doesn't necessarily mean that, because, you know, God does not tempt anyone to do sin, right? And so it's not that he tempted David to kill Saul, but that there are times, I need you to understand this now, there are times when the sovereign God of the universe places us in front of a test. puts us at the Y in the road. Somebody know what I'm talking about? And it's not that God is urging you to make the wrong choice or even tempting you to make the wrong choice, but he does test us with those Y's in the road so that we have an opportunity to experience victory in God. And I think that's exactly what was happening here with David. God, in his sovereignty, delivered Saul into his hands, had him right there in the cave, put a Y in the road in front, right in his path, gave David the opportunity to do right or do wrong. And thank God David made the choice that he was going to do right. And so God doesn't tempt us to, in that sense, entice us to do sin, but God does allow testing to come into our lives so that we have opportunities to prove him. And that testing that comes into our lives is a result of a sovereign God at work in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but every now and again, I know what it is to run up against those Y's in the road. Anybody here with me? And I want to tell you that God is still sovereign even when you run across those Y's in the road. God is not enticing you to do the wrong thing when you come across that Y in the road. He's actually sitting back. He's in his sovereignty. He puts you at that point in your life, but he's in heaven with all the angels rooting you on to do the right thing. He's sitting up there saying, now, let's get it right this time. Because if you get it wrong, guess what? He might put the same test in front of you a little bit later down the road. That's why some of us have to go through the same school over and over and over again until we learn the lesson and get it right. Amen. So David acknowledged God's sovereignty. And we need to acknowledge that it is God who filters every circumstance for his own purpose. It was the Lord who delivered the opportunity for David to do harm to Saul. But it wasn't God who was tempting him or enticing him to do evil. But it was God who was rooting for David to do the right thing. And when we recognize that God is sovereign, it helps us to squelch and control this desire to take revenge ourselves. Amen? You got that written down? And then we can move on to number two. Here's the second thing I want you to see. The second thing is that not only did David recognize God's sovereignty, but we also need to allow God to be the judge. Amen. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." That's David speaking to Saul. And so David was willing to sit back and let the Lord be the judge. Now, that's probably one of the hardest things for us to do, to sit back and let the Lord be the judge. But David was satisfied with allowing the Lord to be the judge and the avenger. Too often, we lack the faith in God to allow God to deal with it. And when people come up against us and when people do evil against us, when people do us wrong, what's our first instinct? I'm going to get him. And none of us want to be a pushover. None of us want to be a doormat. None of us want to be taken advantage of. Amen. And so when things, you know, you do me wrong, you do that again. And we're ready to flatten them out, to take matters into our own hands. I want to challenge you that David's example here was one where he was willing to put it in God's hands and let the Lord be the judge. When we trust in God as the judge, our job, and write this one down, is every now and again I come out with a good thought. Write this one down. When we allow God to be the judge, our job then is simply to love others. If God is the judge, our job description as Christians is what? To love God and share his love with the world. And the only way that we can do that when people are doing us wrong, when people are talking about us behind our back, when people are misusing us and abusing us, the only way to do that is to let God be the judge. Let him handle it. Our job description as Christians is simply to love other people. And so that's what David was able to do. And allowing God to be the judge makes our job simple and easy, to love others, even our enemies. Now, that's not easy. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38. And yeah, I'm sure you've heard these verses before, but they're pretty hard to put into practice. He says, you have heard it said in verse 38, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you in the face on the right side, turn the other to him also. Now that, you know, I don't know about you, but we'd be calling a fear one. Somebody gonna slap you in the face. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Anybody here practicing all that? I mean, that is so far above our human experience, we don't even know how to relate to that. I mean, it's so far above our ability to let God be the judge and allow our description to simply be to love. When somebody smacks you in the face, when somebody does you wrong, Jesus says, let me be the judge. Your job is to love. They want your coat? Give them your coat. They, you know, they take something from you? Let them have it. Our job is simply to love. And it's a tough thing to do. But if you want to control your desire for revenge, then you've not only got to understand that God is sovereign, but you've also got to allow God to be the judge. You've got to allow him to be the avenger. He says, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so we need to be able to leave the issues with him and make our job simply to love our enemies. And when we do that, when we allow God to be the judge and our job is simply to love, somebody remember what the Tony Hart definition for love is? Come on, somebody must remember that. To give of ourselves, the total giving of ourselves, for the welfare of others without requiring anything in return. Now, if that's love, that I'm concerned then in the welfare of the other person, then my concern is not to get them back. My concern is not to punish them. My concern should be for their welfare, even the change of heart in their life. When somebody does you wrong, when somebody misuses you, when somebody hurts you in some way, the natural man says, let's get them back. But the Spirit of God in us needs to be prompting us to be concerned about their welfare, not about their punishment. You see, allowing God to be the judge means that my job description is to simply pray for them, to love them, to be concerned about their welfare. To be concerned about their change in heart, to be concerned about their spiritual life, to pray that God will work on their hearts and change them as people. We need to not be concerned about trying to get back at them. Now, here's what happens. You know, all of you, I know you love to read Psalms in the morning for your devotions. So you read the Psalms and you see David, you know, praying, Lord, wipe them out. Get them. Lord, kill him. And you come back and your mind thinks, oh, yeah, that boss. Lord, get him. That person who's doing you wrong. Lord, look, wipe him out. But let me tell you something, that when you read the Psalms and you read David, Don't pattern your life after David. You follow David as he follows Christ. Amen. There's a whole lot of stuff that David did and David prayed that shouldn't be in your prayer life and in your life. Amen. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David had all kind of issues that you should not be patterning yourself after. You need to be following him only as he follows Christ. In the same way that you follow, whether it's a mentor or a discipler or a preacher or Bible teacher or anybody else, you follow them as they follow Christ. And Christ's example is that we need to allow God to be the judge, and we need to simply have the job description of loving others. And so Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 tells us to repay no one evil for evil, but focus on the good things. And that's what David did with Saul, and that's what we're called to do. We can control our desire for revenge when we allow God to be the judge. Everybody got that? Number three. We not only recognize God's sovereignty and allow God to be the judge, but we also need to allow God to be the deliverer. Allow God to be the deliverer. Take a look at verse 15. Verse 15 of 1 Samuel 24 says, "Therefore, let the Lord be judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand." And so what's David saying? He's saying that not only is God the sovereign God to be the judge, but we also need to allow him to be the deliverer. And in order for us to control this desire for revenge, we need to trust God and have faith in God that he's not only sovereign, he's not only the judge, but that he is going to deliver you. Amen. The famous playwright and congresswoman Claire Booth Wright once said this. She said, "No good deed goes unpunished." You have to, maybe it's too early in the morning to get that. But it's true. In all of our experience, we see so many times when the person who's trying to do right, the person who is trying to live a godly life, that person that seems to be the one who's persecuted, that person seems to be the one that everything goes wrong with, that person is the one who ends up seemingly being punished.
Dr. Hart will be back in just a moment, but first we have a new book offer we'd like to share with you. What is the Mission of the Church by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert takes a deep dive and a balanced look into the mission of the church and question whether or not we're all headed in the same direction. It's yours for a donation of any amount, and if you'll become a monthly financial supporter, we will also send you a handsome golf shirt monogrammed with our GOGF logo. Our announcer Sheila King will give you our contact information at the close of today's program. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
And it seemed to be true with David as well, as his mercy shown to Saul was followed by another round of pursuits by Saul himself. And so Saul was after David, even after David showed him mercy and kindness. And as I said, nobody wants to be a pushover. And if you mess with me, I'm going to want to make you pay. That's just a natural desire. That's what revenge is all about. And most of us have had the experience where a kind act towards somebody was responded to with ingratitude. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where generosity was treated like entitlement. Where sacrifice was taken for granted. Where love was repaid with disloyalty, even hostility. All of us go through those times when we're trying to do the right thing, and what ends up happening is that evil is done against us, just like David experienced here. But the experience of David teaches us to trust God to be the deliverer. And I think that's the lesson that we need to walk out with. Like children, we want everything now, but the problem with God's deliverance is that oftentimes God tells us to what? Wait. To wait. And one of the hardest things for us to do especially when we're waiting for God's deliverance, is to just wait. It takes faith. It takes confidence in God. It takes trust. But we have got to learn to wait. Has anybody here ever had the prompting to revenge? Anybody here ever know what I'm talking about? I mean, I know you all are so holy, holy, you know, so close to God around the throne that maybe it's just me. But the fact of the matter is that if we're going to get that desire for revenge under control, we need to recognize that God is sovereign. We need to allow him to be the judge, and we need to allow him to be the deliverer and wait on his deliverance. And then lastly, I want you to see in verses 17 and 19, we need to understand that God is the rewarder. God is the rewarder. In verses 17 through 19, he says, "Then he said to David," this is Saul speaking, "you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." I want to tell you that if you will get your desire for revenge under control, if you will recognize that God is sovereign, allow him to be the judge, allow him to be your deliverer, there is a reward waiting for you. God will reward you for your patience and your waiting on him. And so we see that with David. And even Saul recognized that God was going to reward him. Now, speaking from a human perspective, Saul thought it strange that anybody would find an enemy and let him get away. And I want to tell you that when you leave it in the Lord's hands, there are going to be people around you who think you're nuts. Every one of us, as we leave here today, we have a choice. And the choice is right in front of us. The choice is that we can understand that he's sovereign, he's the judge, he's the deliverer, and he's the rewarder.
We trust that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry to help us with our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel is greatly needed. Please visit our website today and let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that God loves you today and every day.